Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church. So let's jump into what we're talking about today. We're jumping into 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to finish our series of messages that we're calling Bare Necessities. And so I want you to grab your connection journals as we go into this last message. This series for me has been fun. I hope that over the last couple of weeks, maybe if you saw a teddy bear, it reminded you to do something. Or if you saw a Chicago Bear or a Bears fan. How many of you guys saw a Bears fan? He probably had tears running down his eyes the last 2 weeks after the Dolphins and Patriots, right? But I hope that they remind you to do something, because if you've missed the last 2 weeks, we've been geeking out a little bit, and we've been talking about nouns and verbs. And so what we've seen is that nouns can remind us of verbs, because whenever you look at the word bear, both in the English language and in the scriptures, the word bear can be used as both a noun and a verb. And so knowing this, we've looked at different places in the scripture where we see this word bear used, and we've discovered that bears can remind us of things that we need to bear. In other words, the noun that we see up here can remind us of something that we need to do. The first week we looked at where the passage of scripture tells us to bear one another's burdens. And we talked about how the noun of a teddy bear, we realized that teddy bears only bring comfort when they're what? Picked up, right? And so that's what a teddy bear is designed to do. It's designed to bring comfort, but that comfort can only come when you pick that thing up. And the Bible tells us that when other people are bearing, or when other people are carrying burdens, that it's our responsibility to help them along, not to just look at them and go, oh man, those poor people, man, I feel sorry for them, but to come alongside of them and pick up and carry their burdens with them. Last week, we looked at another passage of scripture, and it reminded us of the Chicago Bears, or more specifically, Bears fans. And whenever you look at a Bears fan, what are they doing? If someone is wearing that kind of gear, and you ask them about it, they're going to point automatically to their team, right? And they're going to talk about how great the Bears are and everything else. And the Bible tells us that we should do the same thing as Christians. We don't bear witness or point to or testify of a team, but we point to or bear witness to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the first week, teddy bear meant to lift up and carry. That's what the word bear meant. The second week was the word bear meant to be a witness or to testify. This week, we're going to see that there's another form of the word bear used, and it means to bear from underneath or to endure. This word that we're going to see in just a minute is actually made up of two different words. The first word is the word under, and the second word is carry. In the original language, they put those two words together to form the word that we know as bear in our language. So when you think about things that we need to get under and carry, what are some things we need to get under? You may say, well, we need to get under a good leadership. You know, like at work, how many of you guys like working for a boss who has no idea what he's doing? How many of you guys work for a boss that has no idea what he's doing? Here's your chance. You can testify in church, all right? As long as he's not in the room with you or she's not in the room with you, right? But you want to get under good leadership. You want to get under a good mentor, someone that's going to take you from where you are to where you need to be. You want to get under good preaching and teaching of the Word of God. You want to get under good influences, good friends, good music, good entertainment, those kinds of things that are speaking life into our lives. But this word, bear, is not referring to us getting under those kinds of positive things. As a matter of fact, where it says under and carry, that word carry in their original language was the word pharaoh, P-H-E-R-O. Can anyone think of a person whose name was pharaoh? All right, the people in those days were very familiar with pharaoh, the king of Egypt, right? And he wasn't one of the cool guys in the Disney cartoons. He was not a benevolent dictator, all right? Pharaoh, to the Jewish people, was very much a dictator. He was very much, he put a burden upon the people. And this word bear took the word under and the word pharaoh, and he said, I want you to get under pharaoh, or get under that burden that pharaoh brings. When we see this unique use of the word bear in Scripture. And by the way, if this is the kind of thing that you enjoy, word studies, there's an awesome website called blueletterbible.net, I think it is. And you can get all of this information on there, and you can study different words in the Bible, and you can geek out on nouns and verbs and Greek adjectives and all those kinds of things, all right? It's really cool. But this form of the word bear is only found three times in the Bible. The first one is in the passage that you're looking at this morning. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. I love this verse. This is one of the first verses that I memorized as a teenager because it has to do with temptation. And as a teenager, I faced temptation. And how many of you guys would say you continue to face temptation today, right? This is a good verse right here. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." So there's our form of the word bear, and that form of the word bear is two words put together. It's getting underneath and carrying a hardship. The other two times that we find this word bear used, it's actually translated different into our language. It's the word endure, but it's the same word. We see it in this next passage here. It's in 2 Timothy 3:11. It says, this is Paul. He's testifying to Timothy. He's writing this letter to this pastor named Timothy, and he's talking to Timothy about these hardships that he had endured. He says, "Persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured," or I bared, or born, or however you're supposed to. I told you I'm from Tennessee. I don't understand English all that well. But he says, "I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." So this is Paul talking about those persecutions. Another passage of Scripture that we see this word used, the last passage was written by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2. He said, "For this is thankworthy." He's talking about suffering at the hands of an unjust master. 1 Peter 2:19 says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." These three passages are teaching us that as believers, we are not to get under necessarily good influences, but to get under and carry these three things. It's found in all three of those: temptation, persecution, and suffering. How many of you guys are thinking, where's the sign-up sheet for that? Is that at the Welcome Center out there? Should I write on my connection card persecution? Because that's what I'm looking for. God wants me to get underneath and carry something. Give me some suffering. Send it my way. Anybody think that way? I mean, you're messed up in the head if that's the way you think. Because ultimately, I don't know about you, I don't want to get under these things. I mean, how many of you guys like it when someone makes fun of you? I can still remember to this day, I used to be a little bit chubbier when I was in middle school, and I can remember the dread of going to play basketball and someone said, "Let's go Shirts and Skins." Anyone ever, how many of you guys remember what that feeling felt like and what was running through your mind? "Oh, I don't want to be Skins. I don't want to be Skins. I don't want to," anybody know like that? No? All right. Come on, guys, help me out here. And so I can remember going, "I don't want to be Skins," and I got picked on the Skins team. And I remember having to take my shirt off and PE and having to play. And on the bus ride on the way home, a girl named Amy, I can almost tell you exactly where it was on Route 9 driving from Olympia to Danvers. I can almost tell you exactly where it was. And Amy said, "Hey, fatty, saw you playing Skins in basketball and PE today." And to this day, I still remember that, man. I mean, nobody wants to get under that. Nobody wants to be made fun of. No one wants to be persecuted. No one wants to keep facing temptation. But God says that's what we need to get under. The illustration that I think really drives home what God is calling us to do in this is this third and final illustration that we have up here, and that is the illustration of a caged bear. Now, that's a pretty intimidating looking bear right there, isn't it? The illustration here is of a caged bear. Because when you think about a bear, there's two different kinds of bears. You've got your wild bears. Just out of curiosity, anyone ever went hunting wild bear before? Anyone ever done that? I've seen some cool videos, never done it myself. But there's wild bears, and then you have caged bears. I'm pretty certain that if you were to ask the bears, the wild bears, which they prefer, your freedom or living in a cage, which one do you think they pick? They pick the freedom, right? Just like we would. We want to live in freedom. You say, "Well, I'm not sure they would pick that." Well, try to catch a bear and put it in a cage and tell me how that works out for you. I mean, Every time you see a bear put into a cage, they're fighting whoever is putting them in there. And most of the time, if they are allowed to come face to face with the person that put them in the cage, what happens? They eat them, right? Because they don't want to be in the cage. The truth is that every time we see this form of the word bear used in the New Testament, those three passages, it seems to emphasize the need for this one word right here, submission. Whether it's in 1 Corinthians, or if it's in 2 Timothy, or if it's in 1 Peter, he says, whenever we think about persecutions, when we think about temptation, we think about suffering, the idea that we see in all three of those passages mixed together, and that idea is the idea of submission. It's almost like a bear that's put into a cage. That bear can fight all it wants to, but it's not going to get him out of the cage. And if it gets him out of the cage, what's going to happen to the bear? He's getting shot, right? Because that's just the way that it works. And the truth is that there are people in this room this morning that you know what a caged bear feels like. You haven't had your freedom taken away by being locked up, but you're facing temptation. You're facing persecution. You're facing suffering. And all you want is for it to stop. All you want is for it to go away. All you want is for that door to be open so you can be let out of that cage of persecution or that cage of suffering. You're tired of the temptation. Listen, the Bible talks about how all of us are going to face temptation, and some of us have to face a lot of it in a very specific area. And you've tried to get away from it, but it seems like no matter what happens, you're constantly being tempted, and all you think is, man, I just need a break. I just need some freedom from this. For us as believers, we don't face a whole lot of persecution, but there are some of us that do. Some of you are made fun of relentlessly by your coworkers. Some of you suffer at the hands of your relatives or your in-laws because of your religious beliefs, because of your faith. And many of us this morning know what it's like to suffer, physically suffer, mentally suffer, emotionally, and even financially. We feel like we're in a cage, and all we want is to be set free. What I want to encourage you to do this morning is I want to encourage you to bear those things. What did the word bear mean? It was two words that meant to get underneath that burden. To get underneath it and to be willing to carry it. Now, the first message in this series, we talked about bearing one another's burdens, and we briefly mentioned bearing our own burdens, but the emphasis of that passage was on bearing other people's burdens. But the emphasis of these three is not on coming alongside of and lifting up and carrying someone else, but it's coming alongside of and lifting not yourself, but getting underneath the burden that you face and that you endure. Now, it'd be real easy for me to stop just for a moment and say, all right, guys, here's what we need to do. We need to get underneath. Just accept it, you know. Just come face to face with the reality that, hey, we're going to have to face these things. Now, get out there, pull up your bootstraps, and let's get her done, right? And let's just do this. But I want to do more than just give you a pep talk, because pep talks don't do a whole lot. I mean, I'm a fan of the University of Tennessee Volunteers. I try to mention that every week during the season because some of you like to make fun of me when they lose like they did last night to South Carolina after having the lead almost the entire game. They lost by 3 points at the very end. Brittany, please pray for me. But what I want us to see is that a lot of times I'll watch Tennessee at the beginning of the game and they all get to the end of that big old huddle and they're barking. I don't know if barking makes you play football better or what, but I can tell you it doesn't work for the University of Tennessee, okay? You get the cheerleaders on the side like, hey, go team, go, and you can get all pepped up and everything, but you know what? That doesn't really change the way you throw the football. That doesn't change the way you tackle, because you can do all that pep talk stuff, but it doesn't work. And the same thing is true spiritually. It's really easy to come in on a Sunday morning and go, yeah, I've got burdens, and I'm going to get underneath them, and yeah, let's go, and then you get out there, and you're like, oh, man, it's exactly like it was before I went in. Jesus said something that we try to emphasize often because Jesus kind of knew what he was talking about. He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I don't want to give you a list of 10 things to do in order to bear your burden. I want to give you a list of 3 truths that will help you to bear your burden. The first truth that we see is actually found in that first passage. It's number 1, we're all in cages. We all have these cages that we have to face in life. Cages, or persecution, temptation, suffering, these three things that we see in those three passages, they are something that all of us have to face. As a matter of fact, when you look at that passage in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he said it. He said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." It's something that all of us are going to have to go through. There is not one person in this room that's not facing temptation. There's not one person in this room that isn't dealing with persecution in some way. Maybe not right now, but you have in the past. And if you haven't now and you haven't in the past, then I can guarantee it's coming in the future. There's not one of us that hasn't suffered in some way. The moment that we get out from under a burden, there's one coming not too far after it, isn't there? I heard one person say, you ought to be nice to everyone because people are either in a storm, just got out of a storm, or about to go into a storm. My wife reminded me of that. I was driving, and a guy was driving slow in the fast lane. Pray for him. And I came up behind him, and I wasn't going to flash my lights at him, although I wanted to. How many guys have ever flashed your lights at somebody for driving slow in the fast lane? Amen. You're not going to admit it in the church, but I know you have, all right? Anyone ever got right up on their bumper waiting for them to move? Anyone ever done that one, all right? Okay, shame on you. I wasn't going to do that. So when I went by him, I went by, and he was talking on his phone. And I honked my horn when I got right next to him, just like that, and it scared him. And my wife said, "Josh, you preach all the time about how people are going through a hard time." She said, what if he was on the phone talking to somebody about something difficult? I said, "Honey, here's the truth. He shouldn't have been driving slow in the fast lane, and you're not supposed to talk on the phone in the state of Illinois, so it's his fault. Don't be my Holy Spirit. He does a good enough job on his own, right?" But isn't it true? I mean, you look around the room at the people you know in this room, and the people you know in this room, you know some of the temptations they're facing. You know some of the sufferings they have endured or are enduring. You know some of the persecutions that they have had to go through. It's important that we recognize that none of us are free from these things. We're as free from these things as we're free as Americans. How many of you guys are glad to be an American? Amen. Proud to be an American. Home of the land of the free and the home of the brave, right? I'm an American. I can do whatever I want unless I want to build a fence, you know, or unless I want to drive 100 miles an hour, you know. I mean, there are certain things that you have to stay within the limitations. And one of the limitations that have been set for us is that God does allow all of us to endure these things. We need to start with the reality of the fact that all of us have to face cages. Because here's the truth. If you're not expecting them, you'll fall for them. If you're not expecting them, you will fall for them. Our son Andrew, he's 11 now, but he was probably, I don't know, how old was Andrew when we scared him that one time? Probably 3, 4? He's probably 3 or 4 years old. I'm talking like miniature Andrew. He's like this tall, right? And his room is at the end of the hallway, and Gracie's is kind of next to his, and we told him to go to bed. They went to bed, and they know not to go into one another's rooms. And so we heard their little feet pattering, and so Misty and I were going to sneak up there and find out what was going on. So we snuck up, and I got down on my hands and knees, and I'm looking into his room, or into Gracie's room, and Andrew's in there, and he's talking, and they're chatting it up, you know, and I don't know what they were talking about, but they were carrying on in there, and Misty's standing over the top of me, and we're just looking, and we're kind of just, "Oh, it's so cute." He's disobeying, but, "Oh, it's so cute," you know. And so I told Misty, I said, "Watch this." And I don't know if I tapped the ground or if I cleared my throat, or I made a noise so he knew that I was coming up there. And Andrew, as soon as he heard it, his eyes got real big, and he turned around, and he started running because he was going to try to get back in his bed. Anybody else's kids ever do this before? Like he's the first one to try this, right? And he does that, and when he got close to the door, I wasn't going halfway on him. I went all in. I got up on my knees, and I went, "Aah!" And listen, I've never seen a person pee their pants right in front of me. But I'm pretty sure he did. I mean, sheer terror on his face. I mean, his eyes got, it was that couldn't breathe scared. You ever had, you know, like that? And for a split second, I was like, "I got you." And then I was like, "Oh no, I think I scarred my son for life." It was bad. But since then, And my other two daughters are in the room right now. How many times have I been hiding around the corner and I jump out at Emma right here, bah! And she goes, saw you, Dad. I yelled with the same intensity. I mean, I snuck up as quietly as I did the other time, but there was one huge difference. What was it? She was expecting it. And the same thing is true with suffering. I have heard countless believers say things that things that come out of their mouth. They say things like, I'm a Christian. I don't understand why I have to go through this. I'm a believer. I've been going to church, man. I've been praying. I've been reading my Bible. I don't understand why I have to keep facing this temptation. I don't understand why God won't let me out of the cage. Can I just remind you from the very beginning, all of us are going to have to face these things, and we need to be expecting them so that we can be prepared for them. The second truth that we see is in the second passage of Scripture. It's this: cages are temporary. Cages are very temporary. You've seen on the news a lot lately, there's been a lot of talk about hurricanes and floods and storms and those kinds of things. And I love watching storms as long as I'm not in the danger of it. But storms are not designed to stay. Aren't you thankful for that? Like, they're cool when they come rolling in and the power and everything that they do. Storms don't come to last, they come to pass. And the same thing is true about temptation. The same thing is true about persecution, and the same thing is true about suffering. We see it in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, where Paul told Timothy, he said, those persecutions, afflictions that I faced at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, what? The Lord delivered me. You can think about Jesus, when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Do you remember how that went down? Like, three different times, the devil came to him, tempted him, and then what does the Bible say happened to the devil? He left. It only happened for a short period of time. For Paul right here, when he's talking to Timothy, he said, yeah, I had to face persecution, and it was tough in the heat of the moment, but you know what? It all passed. And suffering, these other times, these other things that he had to face, none of it lasted. I'm so thankful that we can, when we face these cages of life, times that we don't want to get under, we can get under them and bear them because we know it's not going to last forever. That temptation's not always going to be there. That persecution's not always going to be there, and that suffering will pass as well. For some of us, it means God's going to heal. For others, it means God may never heal. God may never take it away at that very moment. But it reminds us that all of these things will come to pass at some point. Because for the believer, we'll spend eternity in a place called heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where there is no persecution, where there is no suffering, and there is no temptation. It makes us thankful for heaven. But while we wait in the midst of it, we can remember that all these things are temporary and that his strength is made perfect in our weakness during these times. Which leads us to the last thought, number three, is that cages have a purpose. God doesn't just allow you to face suffering and allow you to face temptation and persecution just for sake of allowing it to happen. But they have a purpose. And that purpose is to remind us of our need for our God. Nowhere are we reminded more of the fact that we need our God's provision. We need our God's wisdom. We need our God's guidance and direction. Nowhere are we more aware of that than when we're stuck in a cage. This bear inside of the cage, he is completely dependent upon his caretaker. If that caretaker decides not to give him food, he's not eating that day. If that caretaker decides not to give him water, he's not drinking that day. If his caretaker decides he's not going to give him the veterinary care that he needs, he's not getting the veterinary care that he needs. He is completely reliant upon his caretaker. He has no ability for self-preservation. And can I remind you that neither do we. We have no ability for self-preservation. We are completely at the desire of our God to provide for us. We are his. We are products of his provision for us. Our only hope is in our caretaker. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 through 19. It says, This is Peter talking to this group of people, and he says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Verse 18 says, servants, be subject to your masters, or employees, be subject to your employers with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. He says, not only to the good bosses, but to the ones that are jerks earlier, the ones that don't know what they're doing, right, that we talked about earlier. He says, for this is thankworthy. What's thankworthy? It's thankworthy if you are subject unto them and you handle that cage in the right manner, even though they don't deserve for you to be subject to them. He says, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. If cages are a reality that we all must face, then we need to see God in the midst of them and allow him to accomplish his purpose through us. Do you see what he's saying in this passage? He says, look, I know it stinks working for that guy. In that day, it was probably more slavery than employment, all right? And he says, I know that your master here is not a benevolent guy. He's not a nice guy. He's being a jerk. He says, but what I want you to remember in the midst of it, he says, remember your conscience toward God. See God in the midst of it. And when we see God in the midst of it, then we're able to bear the burden. But if we can't see God at work, if we're not looking for his hand and what he's trying to accomplish, then we're going to miss it. Can I just ask you, do you see God in your suffering? Peter said that he could see God in his. Do you see God in temptation? Look at the next verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He said this, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But look right in the middle of that verse, but God is faithful. He says in the midst of temptation, we need to remember something. God's faithful. And he's not going to allow you to suffer more than you're going to be able to handle. He says, and I'll give you what you need. I'll give you that way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. The only way that we'll be able to bear the cages of life that we desperately despise and want to get out of is to recognize that it's only by his ability can we bear it. Because he provides just as a caretaker would for a bear. Not only that, but you see God's hand in persecution as well in the other passage of Scripture that we're looking at, 1 Peter, or 2 Timothy. He says, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, persecutions I endured, but out of them all, who delivered him? The Lord delivered him. You see the Lord working in persecution. You see the Lord working in temptation. You see the Lord working in suffering. Can I just ask you this morning to try to get into that same mindset and stop trying to get out of the cages and stop trying to get out of those things and look for what God is trying to put in. What we try to do oftentimes is we're like that bear, you know, kind of like the angry guy in the old movies. What do they do? All the guys in jail, they'd get their cup and they'd rag it against the bars. And they're just, I don't want to be in here. I'm an innocent man, and all this other stuff. And just living a difficult life. You know, a lot of us spiritually, if we were to look at the cages we're facing, if we were to look at the suffering, the temptation, the persecution, a lot of us kind of look like that angry bear just running around. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. Let's stop trying to get out and look for what God's trying to put in. There's a purpose in our pain. And God wants to deliver us from that desire to get out and get us to the place where we see what he is trying to put in. Some of the greatest blessings in life come through submission to its hardships. Some of the greatest blessings in life come through submission to its hardships. I mean, you think about this bear. Once he finally comes to grips with the fact that there's a reason I'm in here, that bear gets all he wants, man. He gets 3 squares a day. You know what I mean? I mean, they're bringing him fish that he doesn't have to catch. How many of you guys, I think it's a Geico commercial where you got those bears and they're catching those salmon as they're coming up out of the water and those salmon are jumping up and he goes, man, these salmon are good. He said, but I think I'm going to hit that sushi restaurant up there when we're done. How many of you guys have seen that commercial? You know, this caged bear, he doesn't have to go get in the river and wait for a salmon to jump into his mouth. If he gets hurt out in the woods, he's fending for himself, but he gets hurt in the cage, man, the vet's going to take care of him. There's no hunters in the cage, right? The bear doesn't worry about predators, those kinds of things. We are all facing some sort of persecution, some sort of suffering, some sort of temptation. But I just want to remind you today that you don't have to do it alone. I love what 1 Corinthians 10:13 said, where it says, God will provide that way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That ye may be able. Mark and I went to the gym I think it was last week, and Mark said, hey, can you come spot me? And he was going to do a bench press. And I said, okay, I'll come over there. And he put like 450 pounds on there. And I said, you sure? He says, I got this. Is that what it was? Maybe cut that in half, right? And he said, can you spot me? And he got down. He had warmed up, stressed and everything. And he got down, and I'm standing behind him, and he starts pushing. I mean, you guys ever seen somebody trying to max out? I mean, just everything. He's arching his back, and he's pushing, and just he gets it up to about right here, and this starts to happen. And if anybody's ever lifted, you know what I'm talking about. You start to shake, and I didn't take an ounce of it off. I had my hand underneath it. He's like, help me, help me. I said, no, you got this. I'm like, you know, motivational speech guy. Like, you got it. You're the man. You're married now. You can do this. And he's pushing, and he's shaking. And I, if I'm lying, I'm dying. I put my hand under there, and if I lifted one extra pound off the bottom, I'd be surprised. I mean, I literally just went like this. And he put it right up, put it on the bench. And I said, you did it. Good job. You know, the truth is like for me, when I work out, I'm not putting 450 on the bench. Number one, because I can't do it. But if I could, I don't want to take a chance of it falling on me, you know. They have different machines you can use to help with that if you don't have a spotter. But if you've got a spotter, you can put up more because you're not as afraid to keep pushing because he's there to help you along. Can I tell you what? That's where we are with suffering. You don't have to do this alone. That's where we are with persecution. That's where we are with these trials of life, is that God wants to come alongside of you and lift you through it so that ye may be able. It's not through your strength, but it's by his provision of that way of escape that we would be able to do that. So I want to ask you this simple question this morning. What do you look like right now? Are you that bear that's got a cup in his hand and he's racking up, God, I hate being in here. God, get me out of here. And I wish things were different. Listen, wishing things were different are about the same as worrying about stuff. Wishes don't do dishes, right? It doesn't get it done. And it's important that we recognize that we all look like one of those two bears, the one that's angry and just wants to get out of here and is hurting himself, running up against the cage and trying to get out, or just come to grips with the fact that, hey, we're all going to have to face these things. But God has a purpose in it. And he wants to teach me through it. He'll give me what I need. May God help us with these things.
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.